on House Bill 2142. Good afternoon, Representative Starr. It's good to have you with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You have something you'd like to share with us?
Oh, I do, I do. I just ran over here from the House. So, in the first few comments here, I'll catch my breath.
House is in session.
For the record, I'm State Representative Bruce Starr, House District 3 in Washington County. And I have the privilege and the honor to introduce you to a House bill that we passed just a few short days ago on the House floor with a 46-13 vote. And if you'd have asked me in January whether or not we'd have a transportation bill that would put significant monies on the road, I would have optimistically told you, I sure hope so. I've always, from the beginning of this session, believed that it was an absolute necessity that we come out of this session with a bill, a package that dealt with the very real, immediate need on our state highway system. Whether you're talking about roads or bridges, whether you're talking about state highways, local roads, county roads, the need, I think, is evident to all of us. And, you know, as chair of the Transportation Committee in the House, I believe we've done some things this time to deal with perhaps that long-range view of how are we going to deal with transportation in the next decade when our gas tax as a source of revenue isn't going to really work very well when you have alternative fuel vehicles. I think we've got a piece to that puzzle out there. We look at some of the intermediate opportunities to deal with transportation projects on a local basis, and we've got vehicles bills, hopefully, that you'll be dealing with in this committee very shortly that deal with that situation. But I was always cognizant of that immediate need. And I've been committed from day one as chair of the Transportation Committee in the House, and people thought I was crazy. So you can't do anything. The voters turned thumbs down on a gas tax package by a 88-12 vote. You can't. I mean, the voters won't stand for it. And how are you going to get legislators to support something when the voters spoke so loudly on the issue? And so for all the entire session long, I've been looking, trying to figure out, trying to find that opportunity that I knew had to be there. And after a lot of work and negotiation on the House side and the Highway Users Alliance and the various members thereof and working with the governor's office, we came up with what you have in House Bill 2142. And, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this package, this bill, I believe, is that opportunity this session. We don't touch the gas tax. We don't have to deal with the debate about raising, you know, motorist gas prices. Everybody knows that the gas prices that took off toward the end of last legislative session haven't come down really. I saw yesterday $1.92 for the premium gas that my wife likes to put in her car. I tell her that she doesn't have to pay that much, but she's intent on buying that premium gas. We don't touch the gas tax in this package. We also don't touch registration fees that people pay every couple of years or 4 years or however they pay them on a regular basis. We don't hit them up time and time again. What we do in this package, quite frankly, is we concentrate on that one-time charge that someone pays when they buy a vehicle. And right now it's an absurdly low charge. Unbelievably low charge of a $10.
When was it established? Do you recall?
I don't know the answer to that, but I bet somebody from DMV or ODOT can come up with the answer before they come up here. But that doesn't even cover the cost to administer the title program. And in House Bill 2139, the DMV fee bill, we raised it to $17 because that's the cost of just to administer the title program. Well, when we did 2139 and I saw how many title transfers there are in this state in a biennium, that's significant, almost 2.5 million of them. You raise that title fee just a little bit and you raise significant money. And I had recognized that we had committed to do the DMV fee bill, which raises in the bill somewhere around $34 million. really what that bill does is it gets the subsidy of the State Highway Fund out of DMV, and it's a user pays approach then at DMV. But it frees up 27 some odd million dollars of state highway money. You know, I wanted to use that as an opportunity to do something significant, something more. And that's why we came up with raising the title fee in 2142, the additional amount to $30. Still, a $30 one-time charge when you buy a vehicle is extremely reasonable. When folks are buying vehicles that cost between $20,000 and $30,000, a $30 title fee, I don't believe is unreasonable. You talk about somebody buying a used vehicle, you know, pick the number, a couple thousand dollars, a $30 title fee, $20 increase is fairly reasonable. And if you notice in the bill, we left the salvage title at the $17, and those are the vehicles that are totaled. They're not going to be out on the roads. It didn't make sense to add the additional cost to those vehicles, and we made the compromise and kept them at that $17, the cost to administer the program. In the negotiations on this bill, I wanted it to come through the process in a manner that brought everybody on board. It was very important to me that we have all of the interests not only at the table, but to have them in agreement on a package. I was here last session, and I've been here actually in the building since the 87 session, and I've seen transportation packages that were ambitious, raised a lot of revenue, I think would have done significant good to the system. I've seen them come and go, either in this building, in this process, or be referred and ultimately defeated there. From my perspective, a much better approach is one that brings everybody to the table, basically gets everybody on board, and then we have a much better shot of getting a package through the process and one that the governor can sign. That was extremely important to me. And quite frankly, I refused to take no for an answer on the House side. I kept calling AAA, kept calling the truckers back to the table and saying, what about X proposal? Can we get there if we do, you know, this? And can we get there if we do, you know, changing it, trying to find that idea, that way to make this happen. And it was too important to me to give up. There was times when I went home late at night on a Monday evening not too long ago, where it was very late because I'd been here for a long day. My kids were in bed, but my wife was still up, and I told her, I said, this isn't worth it. This is not worth what's happening to me, for me to go through this. It was a discouraging time. Good thing that I have an hour drive to and from the Capitol, because you can clear your head and you can clear your thoughts, and you can recognize that what we do in this building is too important. It was too important for me to give up, and I didn't. And I again called the different parties, again, AAA and the truckers, the traditional opponents in issues like this. I called them back to the table one last time and asked them both to give a little bit again. And we finally got agreement. And that agreement is what you find in the bill here today. Ultimately, the truckers agreed to pay an increased title charge in order to get the AAA to be comfortable with supporting the package. The truckers also have an agreement from the department to look really closely at how they do the highway cost allocation study. And I'm not going to get into nuts and bolts of that. If the lobbyist from the Trucking Association wishes to do that, I'd be happy to have him do that, or if the department wants to. But ultimately, it boils down to a policy decision that we'll have to make next session, at least from my perspective. But each of them had to give a little in order for us to get this package where we are, in that unanimous or near unanimous support of the package. There are some parties in the building that are neutral on the package, and hopefully as we move through this process here in the Senate, they will remain there. I believe that's important. I guess, you know, I could continue to talk, but I would just urge you to look at this package as one that is, if you look over the past few sessions, the least painful, to the Oregon taxpayer, that one that will get significant dollars to deal with real immediate needs, $400 million. It's not, you know, it's not $1 billion. It's not $1.5 billion. It's $400 million. It's nothing to, I mean, $400 million is $400 million. I'm happy that we got it, and I think it'll make a big impact. As you look at the need, I think this will go a long ways to accommodating some of those projects all around the state. I'll let others talk about some of the specific details in the bill. Colleagues, senators, Mr. Chairman, I urge you to look favorably on this product. I believe it is a solid, good, well thought out, well reasoned approach to deal with that immediate need that I believe is so critical that this legislature deal with. With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Starr. I think we really need to commend you for your tireless effort, and I think you're right. Something had to be done, and you stepped to the plate, and we certainly give you a lot of credit for that, and to your committee and to your colleagues. So I do want to commend you. Committee members, any questions that you'd like to ask Representative Starr at the moment? Yes. Senator Metzger.
Mr. Chair, first of all, I would also like to echo that, Representative Starr, for your diligence and determination in pushing forward on something. And as we go through the bill and look at that, as your committee did, I trust and assure that we will do the same. But I appreciate it was your momentum that actually brought us this opportunity to discuss this. And as the chair said, it seems so often in this building that people don't want to take on difficult issues. So, again, for being able to go out in front of that, I commend you for that. I do have one question. You may not have the answer, but I'm going to, if you do, that's great. But also, I guess I'm setting up people in the back who might have the answer on this. You talked about how low the title rate is now in the state of Oregon. Is it $10 or $12? And now they're going to $17 per cost, and with this bill moves it to $30. Do you have any testimony or do you have any knowledge on what the title fees are for currently for similar states around us?
It's in my folder.
Can you get a perspective on that a little bit?
It's here somewhere. I don't have it off the top of my head, and I don't know that I'll put my fingers on it. But I know that.
Is Kelly Taylor in the room?
Yes.
Yes. In the on-deck circle.
Yeah, Kelly Taylor from DMV, can answer that question, I'm sure.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kelly Taylor, Department of Transportation. Mr. Chair, and Senator Metzger, the fees range anywhere from $3 to $60, and many states include tax on top of that. For example, I believe it's California charges, I think it's 8.25% of sales tax to the price of the vehicle on top of their title. So, and a lot of states do that. A lot of states add tax on it. So the fees are all over the place, really, really low, and up to 60 plus taxes on top of that.
You got any what Washington and Idaho are?
I didn't know. Idaho's is pretty inexpensive. I think it's around $8 or so. Washington, I think, is 30.
Yeah. So I would appreciate, Mr. Chair, as we go through this, if maybe Kelly could provide us with the information that you have. I think it would be just helpful information for the committee to know when people ask about that.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions for Representative Starr before he heads back to the House chamber? Okay, thank you very much. We'll try to do good work over here.
Thank you very much. Just if I could make one further comment, Mr. Chair. I want to be sensitive to the committee here, and I recognize that we are partners in this process, and I'm sensitive to that. However, there was agreement around the table as we negotiated this package not to further amend this bill, and recognize clearly the prerogative of the Senate to further improve products from the House. But I would just sincerely ask that that you I want to be sensitive. Be cautious.
We'll take your concern under advisement.
Thank you very much, Mr. Senator. Thank you very much.
I do think there's the possibility of an amendment because we do have some.
Also, Mr. Chair, I know that there is a conflict amendment that has to be adopted.
We would work those out graciously and sensitively.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. I think at this point, Joan, were you going to sort of take us through the bill step by step so we know what we're talking about?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Joan Robinson from Legislative Council. And I will just do a section by section, a brief section by section explanation of the bill. Section 1 amends the current statute, and it's the section that authorizes the issuance of the bonds, up to $400 million worth of highway user tax bonds. It accepts them from the provisions of ORS 286-505 to 286-545, which is the state's general bonding provisions that basically say that bonds will be treated in the same way that the budget is treated. The governor will present a bonding proposal, and the legislature will act on it. This has to be made an exception to that because these bonds didn't come up, this idea didn't come up soon enough to be included in the governor's proposals. Section 2 is the section that explains the uses of the bond proceeds, what they're allowed to be used for, and how the decisions will be made about what projects will be funded by the bonds. The first thing to notice is the definition of highway. Some people were concerned about that, and so it's defined with reference to ORS 801.305, which is the Motor Vehicle Code definition of highway, and it's an extremely broad definition. So there's no doubt that county roads, city streets, state highways, anything that vehicles can travel on is a highway for purposes of this bill and for purposes of these bonds. The bonds will be used for preservation and modernization projects. And so there are definitions of preservation and modernization, again, which refer to other sections in ORS. Modernization is improvements that add capacity to the highways. Preservation includes paving, striping, and reconstruction designed to add useful life to existing highways. And there are certainly people from ODOT who can elaborate on modernization and preservation. So the general use for the money from the bonds will be for preservation and modernization projects. The Transportation Commission will choose which specific projects will be built or done from among the following: highways that need increased lane capacity, highways and bridges that have weight limitations, state and local bridges that need work for reasons other than weight limitation, interchanges on multi-lane highways, and district highways in cities and counties that require preservation. Again, what a district highway is something that someone from ODOT can explain to you better than I. Mm-hmm. Section 2 also specifies the criteria that the commission is supposed to use in choosing the projects, and there are two, at Section 3 also has to do with criteria to be used. Lane capacity projects have to be chosen from a financially constrained list. The STIP is a financially constrained list. The term financially constrained is not defined. It's my understanding that people who need to know what it means know what it means. Of course, as a drafter, I prefer defined terms, but I can't always get them, so. And I don't even get to choose what goes in the bill, so.
Fair.
Yeah, right.
By the way, Joan, I think As you're going through this list, we're reading them. I think that we need to make it clear that this is not a priority list. In other words, A isn't have a higher priority than
right.
B. They're just listed.
Right. They are listed in no particular order.
Right.
Certainly not a priority order. Not even an alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. Probably just in the order in which I came to them as I was writing it. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, that was. It was clear to me. It was made clear to me when the request came in that there was not to be a priority in the bill. So
I thought we ought to get that on the record for sure. So.
Right. Bridge projects have to be chosen on the basis of a bridge inventory or rating system. Interchange projects. You can read it for yourself. And then paragraph E of subsection 3 says that projects have to be equitably distributed throughout the state using the STIP criteria. for distribution of projects. And those are different criteria depending on the kind of project it is, but the purpose of paragraph E was to make sure that not all $400 million gets spent in one area of the state. Section 3, again, is also a section dealing with criteria and requires the department, it requires the commission to consult with local governments, MPOs, metropolitan planning organizations, and regional transportation advisory groups, so in choosing the projects, so that everybody's involved in the process of choosing. Section 4 requires the projects to be chosen by February 1st, 2002. Sections 5 and 6 deal with the money. The actual $71.2 million is the amount that is expected to be raised from a combination of this bill, House Bill 2139, and whatever the utility fee bill is, and I don't remember the number of it. But that's the amount of money that will be available for repayment of the bonds, and it's actually, as I understand it, a little bit more than will be needed for repayment of the bonds. So the $71.2 million, any amount that's not used to repay the bonds will be distributed among the department, the cities, and the counties in what's a new distribution formula. It'll be 50-30-20 rather than the current formula, which has the state getting approximately 60% of the highway fund, the county's 24.38%, and the city's 15.57%. So as the bonds get paid off, the $71.2 million will continue to be distributed in that way, so eventually the city and county split for this part of the money, of the highway, of highway fund money, will be larger than the current split.
So what we're really saying is that we're after $400 million bonding capacity technically right here. We're raising the fees to get there, but once this is paid off, that does not have anything to do with the cessation of the of those fees. Those fees
right.
continue.
The fees will continue, and the money will be distributed under this mm-hmm. distribution formula. It will also be distributed before the bonds are issued, if it takes a while for the bonds to be issued, or if, you know, if they're issued in lots of $100 million or whatever it is. Section 7 amends the title fee section of the ORS, and that's where you get the title fees, the transfer fee, the issuance fee, and so on. And that's, again, $30, as Representative Starr said, $30 for most vehicles, $90 for trucks, heavy trailers, truck tractors, and $17 for salvage titles, which is what they will be under House Bill 2139. Section 8 amends the current bonding statute, and the purpose of it is to make the ODOT bond people and bond council happy for the issuance of these new bonds.
Joan?
Yes.
Can we go back? Janet was just reminding me here that it does... You do get charged for duplicates.
Yes.
Or replacement kind
right.
of thing.
It's for yes. transfer of a title, issuance of a title, duplicate or replacement certificate of title, and a new certificate of title for change of name or address.
I think it's important to point that out. I mean, those are the things that those of us who like the bill, I still think we're better off to just be upfront on the whole thing on that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to skip it.
No, I just wanted to emphasize it, though. Okay, just Section 8 you're talking about there.
Right, Section 8 is amendments to an existing bonding statute that's designed to make ODOT and ODOT's bond council, and I suppose the state treasurer, feel secure about issuing these new bonds. It makes clear that the bondholders have a priority on the money for paying off the bonds. Without this kind of thing, nobody would ever buy the bonds. The treasurer wouldn't issue them. There wouldn't be much point in doing this bill. Section 9 requires motorcycle and mopeds operating off-road to have a flag. Section 10 is an effective date. As some of you will recall, last session the legislature passed a law saying that the normal effective date of a bill is now January 1st. This bill, people want this bill to take effect as soon as it can. The soonest it can take effect is the 91st day after adjournment, sine die, because it can't have an emergency clause because it regulates taxation. And so the effective date will be the 91st date, what used to be the normal effective date of bills. The bill is, of course, a bill for raising revenue and requires a 3/5 majority vote.
Two-thirds vote.
Three-fifths.
Or three-fifths posts.
Three-fifths, so that means we're going to need 18.
And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
18 votes.
If I can.
Okay, any questions for Joan? You explained it very well.
Thank you.
We may need you again sometime, but... Do you want somebody from Legislative? Or maybe for the work session, maybe we could do it.
Maybe some of them might be off.
Okay, we have a number of people who have signed up. What the plan is, and those of you who might be wondering why we scheduled public hearing only today, you know, is there some hidden agenda there or something, and you might be wondering. It was done that way because I frankly have from 3 to 4:30 and I have to go give a commencement speech. I knew how long this was going to take, so I didn't want to get people thinking it might be a work session today. We'll just do a work session next week sometime, and we'll get word from the president on that. So that there's nothing significant about the fact that there's no work session scheduled at this particular moment. There will be a work session on
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Are you graduating tonight?
I get to put my regalia on tonight and go back to the old days. Okay. Why don't I just take? I'll just take it in the order that almost the order people have signed up. John Watt. Okay. Come right on. Wait. Excuse me. Well, you know what? Just as John, why don't you come on up? But maybe Pat Egan from the governor's office. I think is a courtesy to the.
I'll come up with Bruce.
Okay.
You don't want to say with John?
I like John a lot.
A lot of people don't, so we understand. John?
John, do you want me to come down and sit with you?
John, I think I'm going to let you go first, and then I'll bring a couple others up at the same time. But I know you have some brief comments for us.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, John Watt, I'm in trouble already before I'm even started. I represent... some businesses in Jackson County extremely interested in transportation issues. We call ourselves a transportation consortium from Southern Oregon. As most of you know, I'm from Medford. We also represent Jackson County. And then the other hat that I'm wearing this legislative session is president of the Oregon Highway Users Alliance. And so I'll just kind of intersperse my comments and hopefully straighten them out if necessary. For those of us in Southern Oregon, we've worked on transportation issues in this body for many, many years. And certainly we're extremely pleased with the leadership that Representative Starr has taken in finding a responsible transportation financing package that we believe will help solve some of the problems over the last 10 years, but in no way solves all the problems that we have regarding transportation. As many of you are working on other pieces of legislation that would work on, task forces and work through the interim that will look for some more long-term solutions. But I think that we all realize that continually increasing the gas tax was not it. And for my clients, we're extremely pleased to see a piece of legislation that may begin a journey that's been interrupted for some period of time. As president of the Oregon Highway Users Alliance, we came into this session expecting to provide information as stakeholders to you as legislators, encouraging information sharing amongst ourselves to try to move the issue of transportation financing and encourage it forward. We did not expect to be seated here before you to testify on a financing package today. And as you all know, it's interesting sometimes how things in this building work, but here we are nonetheless. And even more amazingly, for those groups that are members, we all agree. And you'll be hearing from some of those folks. It gives us a great deal of pleasure to come before you today and say that we support House Bill 2142 engrossed as it sits before you. There is an agreement on the bill as it reads, and that we would be very fearful that if the bill were to change, that tenuous tentative agreement could come unbalanced and come unraveled. So with that, I'll say let's move along. Good bill should pass.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate that. Any questions or comments for John? Thank you.
Thank you.
Your experience around here, you know how to make it quick and to convince us, huh? All right, I'm going to ask Bob Russell, Marshall Koba, D. Bridges, and Elkins. Why don't you guys... Oh, Al Elkins. My goodness, as well as I know him. May need one more chair here. Or I only see three people, but I call four names. Where's Bob Russell?
Bob's down in here in D.C.
Does he think that's more important than this committee?
He didn't think you were going to get to him this quickly.
All right. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. I'm Marshall Koba, representing AAA Oregon, Idaho, in support of House Bill 2142. AAA would like to thank Representative Starr for his strong leadership and vision on this issue. We believe his commitment to this proposal is why we, along with most of the highway user community, are able to support this much-needed legislation. We'd also like to thank his administrator, Mr. John Leon, who we think has also done a fine job this session. This bill, we believe, fixes roads and bridges across Oregon and is an important accomplishment for this legislature, and we are pleased to strongly support this bill. In addition, I represent the Consulting Engineers Council of Oregon, and the Consulting Engineers also support House Bill 2142. Thank you.
Thank you, Marshall.
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Tow Truck Association. I'd like to echo the thoughts of Marshall Koba, and we would like to thank Representative Starr, Mr. Egan from the Governor's Office, Bruce Warner, and Joan Plank from ODOT for making it palatable for the trucks to get to the table.
And of course, this great committee for hearing
and this
today,
committee
too,
for hearing today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Yeah. Chair, for the record, D. Bridges, Oregon Forest Products Transportation Association, I guess I can just say ditto, ditto. We are in support of the bill. Bob Russell asked me to sign him up, and as I said, he's down in another hearing room. It would be a rather historic occasion, I believe, for OTA and AAA to be sitting at the up here agreeing on something. Too bad it didn't happen.
Why don't you, if he gets back here and you're still here, we'll bring you up and get a photo opportunity to do that. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions you'd like to ask him today?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Steve and Bill, why don't you come on up here next? I think we're going to get the county perspective on this whole thing. Oh, okay. Oh, the League of Oregon Cities, too. Okay. Where? Did you sign up? Oh, Andrea. Great. I didn't see your name down there.
Two. Okay. And we will defer first to Andrea and let her present her testimony.
Andrea?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Andrea Fogg with the League of Oregon Cities. Very pleased to be sitting before you today and supporting this transportation package. Also, very much supporting the leadership that Representative Starr has shown in bringing this forward. It's a significant step forward. It's exactly what it says it is, a Transportation Investment Act. Significant investment, is it everything? No, but it's a very good step in the right direction. As you know, you've heard us talk about funding issues many times. There's a very, very large gap. This will begin to fill that gap. Cities very much support this package. It'll put roads on the system, on the state, city, county roads where the money needs to go. We will have a significant role in how these funds are allocated. The bill is committed to work with local governments, particularly through a local government advisory committee to direct the commission about how these dollars will be spent. And so again, to make it short and sweet, very pleased to have the opportunity to support this package, and city officials urge your support of the Transportation Investment Act.
Thank you, Andrea, and I like that, Transportation Investment Act. That's a very good title. Let's just keep using it. Do you want to talk about the Transportation Investment Act, Bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bill Penhollow, representing the Association of Oregon Counties. And I have the privilege today of introducing our president, Commissioner Steve McClure, from Union County. And Commissioner McClure will be presenting our testimony in support of the Transportation Investment Act, Mr.
Very
Chair.
Good. Yes, Steve, it's good to have
Thank
you here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I'm Steve McClure, Union County Commissioner and President of the Association of Oregon Counties. And counties would also like to endorse the Oregon Transportation Investment Act. Again, I think we need to reiterate that it doesn't solve all the problems for counties, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. And I think most importantly, the fact that AAA and the truckers are sitting down together is the most encouraging piece for us. We certainly understand that having that kind of a conflict has made it very difficult to address transportation funding in the state of Oregon in the past few years. And we think this is a very important first step to start building those coalitions and relationships that we need to build to move on to finding some meaningful long-term funding solutions for our transportation. So again, county certainly endorsed the Oregon Transportation Investment Act. It's not a final solution, but it's a big step in the right direction, and we certainly urge your support of that bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Any questions for cities and the counties?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us. And to my staff listening down in my office, would you bring the camera up? I have a plan. Okay, we're moving on to next. And please do not leave, Bob, Marshall, and all everybody. Okay. Jessica, come forward. Doug, why don't you come up at the same time, okay? We'll kind of keep moving along here. Gosh, we're going so fast, my commencement speech is going to be a lot longer than I thought it would be.
Poor Greg.
That'll make them all happy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jessica Harris with the Associated General Contractors, and we are here in enthusiastic support of the Oregon Transportation Investment Act. We believe that this package begins the process of reinvesting in our transportation system. For my members who work daily out on the roads, they have noticed the decline in the buying power available of the gas tax. We've had this year alone 3 of the 11 portable asphalt plants in the state sold off to other companies out of state because there has not been enough work available to keep them busy. We have folks right now who are usually very, very busy building roads who are sitting at home waiting for more work to be put out for them to do this summer. So for my folks, this is more than just about building good roads. This is about their livelihoods and their families and their futures of their companies. So they view this as a very wonderful, very encouraging first step, and we appreciate the consideration of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. I guess your point then is well taken. It's good for the economic climate of Oregon. Okay. Doug.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Doug Riggs. I'm here representing two different clients from different parts of the state with different, vastly different population bases, different geographical attributes, and a different political perspective. And those two clients are Metro on the one hand and the Central Oregon cities on the other hand.
That's worth a picture, too.
That's right. You don't often find rural Oregon and Metro agreeing on something. This is a case in point where they do agree. And I'd also point out that I also represent the building trades here, and Jessica and I do not always agree on the issues. But we are here together on behalf of our clients representing them today in strong support of this bill and this package. In our view, this is an absolutely essential piece of legislation for us this year. We didn't expect to see this happen, and I'd give an awful strong endorsement to Chairman Starr and his efforts and his committee staff person, John Leon, as well. But we really are facing a crisis, a transportation crisis in Oregon. You see that if you drive through downtown Redmond, the state highway going right through 5th Street and 6th Street and the clogged intersections there. You see it if you go to 217 and Highway 26, if you go out to Washington County. You see it on the coast. You see it in southern Oregon. And I think people throughout the state, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, rural, urban, are beginning to recognize that we do have a crisis here and it needs to be addressed. So we're very much appreciative of the efforts that have been made both by the House and we hope also by the Senate. And we certainly appreciate the fact that we're having a hearing today and hopefully a work session soon. So I would just simply, again, thank you and urge your strong support. This is a good package, and we hope that you'll support it.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Doug, I would hope that if this all passes, we get the funds, that one strip through the main street of Redmond, I don't want that torn up.
Yeah.
That was built in 1934, folks.
That's right. It's actually.
You got your first car?
And that's a. Senator Hartung, would you keep quiet over here?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, if I could just make
anything 1934. That's a vintage year.
That's a great year. That's also the year that my mother was born. So yeah.
See,
I agree.
That road, that strip was put in 1934, and it's still good, right. Solid stuff.
Yeah.
Any questions for Doug or Jessica? You're very good. All right, going fast. Thank you very much. Kristen. Oh, who else? Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much. For the record, my name is Kristen Mitchell. I'm the Governmental Affairs Director for the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. Our association represents those businesses that are in the process of collecting solid waste and recyclables or operating transfer stations or material recovery facilities or landfills. We have a lot of members out on the road every day. You may not see them, and hopefully they don't wake you up too often, but they're out there pretty early in the morning, and there are a lot of them. With the combination of services that we provide, there can be up to 3 trucks coming down a residential street every day or 6 days a week. We have a lot of people out on the roads, and therefore we have an opportunity and an obligation to travel city streets and county roads and state highways and freeways. We're very concerned about the safety and the preservation of those roads. We're very happy to be here today to support the Oregon Transportation Investment Act, and we're pleased with the leadership that has brought this forward. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for Kristen? Okay, this is Link, why don't you and Matt Levins come forward?
Mr. Chair.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon. Thank you. For the record, my name is Link Cannon. I'm the Director of Forest Resources and Taxation for the Oregon Forest Industries Council. You have a copy of my written testimony, so I, in the interest of time, will just say that OFIC is pleased to support the Oregon Transportation Investment Act.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, Link. Matt?
Matt Blevins with the Oregon Environmental Council. Just briefly, Oregon Environmental Council at this point does not support 2142, but we do not oppose the bill. We have some concerns that we hope that this committee can address before they move this bill on to passage. One of the big concerns is the priority of preservation over modernization in the transportation financing that we do in the state. OEC continues to feel that we need to repair and maintain the roads that we currently have before we build more more roads across the state. We would encourage the committee to consider an amendment to the package that would amend specifying the projects selected for financing under this bill would comply with applicable policies with the Oregon Highway Plan, which, after all, is the officially adopted policy of the Oregon Transportation Commission. There's no specific language within the bill that prioritizes preservation over modernization. We feel this would go a long way to getting to that goal. Thank you.
Matt, would it be possible for you to talk to Pat Egan and Bruce Warner? There may be some ways they can accommodate some of your concerns.
And we've been in conversation with Thousand Friends and others who've been in that loop. So it's all the same thing. Yep.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Randy, do you want to come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Randy Tucker, Legislative Affairs Director for 1,000 Friends of Oregon. As you probably know, 1,000 Friends has for many years worked to ensure that Oregon transportation policies work to reinforce rather than to undermine the land use and growth management policies that protect our quality of life. And we support adequate funding for Oregon's transportation system since, in our view, the entire system benefits when sufficient funding is available for all transportation modes and the entire system suffers when that funding is not available. And we support innovative new strategies for generating new transportation funding as well, especially those that reinforce good transportation behavior and that provide flexible funding that can be used across modes. In general, our policy is we are much less concerned with where the money comes from than with how it's spent when we're talking about transportation financing. We strongly support generating new money for maintaining and preserving the roads we have, the existing road network, in order to protect Oregon's investment in our transportation system. To put it bluntly, we believe we need to fix potholes before we build new roads. The principle of fix it first should be embodied in all of our transportation funding decisions. With respect to new roads, however, it's been our policy to oppose any increases in revenues for expanding the state's highway capacity until we have clear and enforceable policies to govern the way projects are selected and designed. As you probably recall, this policy led us to oppose the passage of House Bill 2082 last session, the 1999 gas tax package. I want to be clear, because we're often mischaracterized. Thousand Friends does not oppose all new roads. We support the construction of new roads that are well-designed, that are well-planned, and consistent with good land use and transportation policy. We oppose, however, new roads that won't solve real transportation problems and that will lead to sprawl without relieving congestion in the long run. As you know, the transportation package under consideration this session is very different from the package that emerged last session, and we definitely think it's a significant improvement. Specifically, this bill is not burdened with the earmarked list of projects, sprawl-inducing road projects that the voters decisively rejected last time around, and it allows money to be spent on preserving our existing highways and bridges. However, in our view, this package currently, as it currently stands, falls short in two significant ways. First, as we testified in the House, House Bill 2142 does not prioritize preservation of existing facilities, and as Matt Blevins just testified. While we understand that the intent is to make a significant investment in preserving our existing roads and bridges, the bill itself includes no assurances that any of the $400 million in bonds will actually be spent on preservation. Second, however, and more importantly, Oregon continues to lack enforceable policy guidelines to ensure that new transportation projects actually solve real problems in a cost-efficient way rather than merely leading to more sprawl and congestion. While the Oregon Highway Plan adopted in 1999 by the Oregon Transportation Commission includes excellent policy, actual transportation decisions do not always comply with those policies. For example, the project list that the OTC adopted in response to the passage of the gas tax package last session included several projects and, in our view, actually violated the major improvements policy of the Oregon Highway Plan. And I've attached the major improvements policy of the Oregon Highway Plan, which also has a priority list for the way we should make our investments. That is the official policy of the Oregon Transportation Commission. Therefore, we are unable to support the package before you in its current form. However, one simple amendment could solve the biggest problem with this bill and largely alleviate our concerns. We strongly urge you, when you go to work session, to adopt an amendment specifying that projects selected for financing under this bill shall comply with the applicable policies of the Oregon Highway Plan. And finally, let me suggest one smaller specific amendment. Section 2.3c of the bill, it's on the second page. I don't have the bill in front of me, but it's about, you know, a third of the way down, I think. Reads, priority for interchange projects shall be given to projects on multi-lane highways where safety can be enhanced by constructing a grade-separated interchange to replace an at-grade crossing. We would urge you to end the sentence earlier, after the word enhanced. Maybe the solution is to construct a grade-separated interchange. Maybe not. So certainly we think that where there's a safety problem, it's, you know, it warrants consideration of a solution. We don't think that the bill should prejudge what that solution might be if there's a better idea. In closing, let me definitely say that we recognize and commend and appreciate the hard work that's gone into this package. We've had a lot of conversations over the last several days with people that have been very involved with this package, and they've listened very carefully to our concerns, and we appreciate that. We hope to work with you and with them to improve this bill further, to turn it into something that we can support. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Okay.
Randy, I think we've had a chance to talk, and I think some others have too, and I hope you will continue to work with the Governor's Office, Department of Transportation,
right,
and see if some of your concerns can't be met otherwise, rather than try through the amendment process.
Right. We certainly will continue to work with all parties, no matter what happens here, but we would certainly urge you to include the language that would make the our policies enforceable in this state. Thank you.
Randy, thank you. Questions for Randy? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Bruce, come on up and you get to wrap it up today.
I guess Pat will be joining.
I'll join.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, I'm Bruce Warner, the director of the Oregon Department of Transportation. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for allowing me to speak on this matter. I'll give you my, excuse me, I forgot to hand out my, my copies of the testimony here. I'll be very brief, however. I think as Representative Starr outlined and some of the others who testified before you, this bill does not solve all of Oregon's transportation problems, but I think, as also mentioned, this is a major transportation investment proposal, the likes of which we have not seen for the last decade. And what I really wanted to make sure that the committee understood from our perspective is House Bill 2142A gives a great deal of flexibility to the Oregon Department of Transportation to work with stakeholder groups, cities, and counties, and our other partners to select and program various transportation projects around the state. And as you also heard, it's not just for state highways. It is for city and county roads. So it's a very important fact that this bill allows, even though it prescribes that the Oregon Transportation Commission will select the projects, we need to do it in consultation with our partners. And I want you to understand that our partners include, again, Oregon Highway Users, AAA of Oregon, Oregon Trucking Association, folks like Thousand Friends and Oregon Environmental Council and others. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank the AAA of Oregon and Idaho and the Oregon Trucking Association for their help and assistance in working to resolve some of the longstanding issues surrounding transportation funding. And I look forward to working with them to address some of the issues that have been raised on the cost responsibility in the upcoming study you'll see in the next legislative session. ODOT does support House Bill 2142A, and I look forward to strengthening our relationship with key stakeholders as a result of this opportunity. And ODOT is committed to getting the money on the road as quickly as possible. We're looking at many innovative contracting techniques and working with our local government partners and the consulting engineers to get projects out onto the street as quickly as possible. The chair had a question regarding the increases in the titling fee and when the $10 was initiated, and that was actually done in 1991. It was raised from $9 to $10 in 1991, and that was raised previously from $7 to $9. I do not have the date, so it gives you an idea of the magnitude that we've had on that fee. For the record, I also wanted to comment that I do not believe that the legislature needs to prescribe in law that the Oregon Department of Transportation or the commission should follow its own adopted policies. We intend to follow the policies that we have adopted, and I wanted to make that clear. And that also that
Matt and Randy,
yes,
and their organization, so they'll... Okay, so their concerns will be addressed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and we will definitely work with those stakeholders to, again, make them feel comfortable that we will follow our own policies as we select projects, because it's our intent to come up with a list of projects that everybody can agree on are vital for Oregon and are projects that we can all agree should go forward to completion. So, again, thank you for the opportunity, and, again, ODOT, again, supports this bill.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and make a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Warner, the plan is not to bond the entire amount right away. Could you just go through that real briefly?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and Ms. Atkins, I think if you look at the fiscal impact statement for this particular bill, we envision, again, a staggered sale of bonds, probably $100 million as an example, the upcoming biennium, $200 the following biennium, and then $100 million after that. So essentially we view that over a 4, 5, 6-year period, all of the money will be bonded and we'll be paying money for repaying those bonds all during that time from the first biennium, but it'll increase over time, which makes more money available up front for cities and counties and for other purposes for transportation around the state, if I was anticipating the reason for your question.
You know, we were looking through this fiscal analysis. It says the Department of Transportation assumes about half of all bond proceeds will be used for highway modernization projects, with the other half used for bridge and preservation projects. So I think it does address some of the concerns. Is that you want to address that particular?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. While the law does not specifically prescribe the split, what we've been talking about all along with the various stakeholders is 50% of the proceeds would go towards preservation, which also includes bridge replacement on the local and state system, and then modernization, those projects which would add capacity and deal with longstanding safety problems on our highway and roads.
Any questions for Mr. Warner while we have him here?
Yes. Maybe after Pat's done.
Okay, we'll let Pat go.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pat Egan, and I'm sensitive.
like Representative Starr, I want to be sensitive to the stakeholders, and I want to be sensitive to your time, so I'll get right to my points here. Basically, three different things I want to talk about here. First of all, the principles and the priorities that we've been clear about throughout session with Representative Starr and other members of the Highway Users Alliance and other stakeholders as this package has grown and been put together. Second would be finance and a couple of provisions from our perspective there. And the third is the Oregon Transportation Commission process and some conversations we've had surrounding that. First of all, at the beginning of session, when we basically said, you know, when a funding package gets put together, we're going to be, the governor has been clear that maintenance, preservation, bridge repair are among his priorities. He also recognizes that that there's a dire need out there to address some of the congestion issues, and it's debatable as to whether some modernization projects can address those, but he recognizes that Transportation Commission has to be somewhat responsive to those. But nonetheless, his principles and priorities remain on maintenance, preservation, bridge repair. This package, we believe, reflects those priorities, and we're happy with the way it's been put together and with the fact that the Transportation Commission gets to make those decisions and will make them quickly, by the way. The bill provides that by February of 2002, this project list will be put together. The bonding, that's another matter when the bonds are sold. But so we're happy with that emphasis on maintenance, preservation, and bridge repair. There will also consequently be, as part of this package, some dollars freed up that will still go through the 50-30-20 split and go to local governments. Those local governments could then use those dollars for maintenance, which, again, that's part of our priority. As to finance, the governor has also made clear that he's not been a big fan of bonding, period, whether it's transportation, lottery bonds, general obligation bonds, or others. But he's also willing to consider and is open to the idea of bonding projects when it makes sense. Here we believe bonding makes sense because with the emphasis on bridge repair, which the general lifespan from the experts is about 75 years, preservation and obviously modernization, the lifespan of those projects as the monies are spent will outlast the life of the bonds, which in this case will probably be 15 to 20 years. So for those reasons, we think it's a financially sound package, and we support the bonding aspects. I also am quick to add that we see a direct nexus between the titling fees here, which finance the package, and the product of the package, the investment in roads. While I recognize the sheer leadership that was exhibited in the 1991 session, moving from $9 to $10, I would submit that, that this package more directly addresses that nexus, and I'm proud to be part of it. Finally, the 50-30-20 split, we fully recognize the partnership that we have with local governments, with cities and counties. We suggested early on that the revenue stream, once it's been used and finalized, paid off the bonds, that revenue stream go directly into 50-30-20 split. And we're glad that the cities and counties are able to partner with us on the appropriation of those dollars. Finally, the Oregon Transportation Commission process itself. We've had direct, our office has, excuse me, had direct communication with each of the commission members. They're happy with it, glad to see it, and look forward to the process, although it's a steep process for them. They've got a lot of work in store. But they look forward to it. They also have communicated that if legislators want to communicate directly with them, that they're open to that. And they've already shown that, been in the building last couple of days, last couple of weeks. And we believe that the selection of projects themselves will be spread throughout the state in geographic and by geographic, economic, and on a needs base. And we're pleased with that as well. And so finally, I really would like to take an opportunity to thank all of the stakeholders, especially Representative Starr, his House Transportation Committee, the Highway Users Alliance, and other stakeholders who have worked with our office. And I'll take your direction, Mr. Chair, and plan to work with Thousand Friends, Environmental Council, and any others that have concerns that hopefully we can address. And I also would like to recognize John Leon, the director himself, and his able staff for the work they've put together in completing this package. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions for... Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, you guys can do a tag team on this and decide which ones to handle. First question I have is, it's clear from our fiscals here that the money that will be generated is probably not going to be necessary in its entirety to pay off the bond. So there'll be some extra dollars. And going forward, looking at the growth of the state, that actually then these dollars could actually increase, providing additional dollars beyond what is necessary to pay the indebtedness for the bonds. Where does this additional money go? Money that is not required to pay off debt service.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzger, the bill outlines $71.2 million of revenues anticipated to be generated for the next biennium, as an example, for these revenue sources. You are correct that that source of money will go up in the future. The way it's set up is, if you read it carefully, it says that anything above and beyond that necessary to service the debt payments will again go to the cities and counties and the state based on the 50-30-20 percentage that was described by Mr. Egan. And after the bonds are paid off entirely, that money would then go into the Highway Trust Fund, be distributed again on a 50-30-20 basis. So any of the money that's used not to repay the bonds or after the bond payments are repaid would go into the General Highway Trust Fund and be allocated according to the formula outlined in this law.
Next question is,
Mr. Chair, if I could just do a quick follow-up to Bruce. Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, in addressing that point, you take a glass half full view of it, and we do too. Others have pointed out to us, though, that that the economy could turn down. We could have fewer tiling fees collected at some point, and so there is some risk associated with this as well. And as a technical point, and I'm not bond counsel, but these are backed up with the bonds are backed by the highway fund in total. And so there is some risk that it could be less than 71.2, but I think we're comfortable that the bond rating would stay as a quality bond rating.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, if I could also follow up here, one other thing. The anticipated amount that we've looked at to service the full debt at $400 million is somewhere between $62 and $64 million per biennium. So that'll just give you a rough idea that, again, there would have to be quite a downturn in revenues to start impacting the amount of money that we're, where we'd have to actually start taking it away from the Highway Trust Fund to repay bonds.
I got a couple of series on this, Mr. Chair. Was there a discussion in the committee or in the group in putting this package together? Was there any discussion about the viability of taking those dollars, which are not necessary from the beginning to pay debt service because of what you said, Mr. Egan, about the uncertainty of the future, and rather than allocating those to the Department of Transportation in cities and counties, using those extra dollars to put in a separate trust fund, not only to ensure the bond indebtedness, but maybe to even grow a greater trust fund for future bond activity 10, 15 years down the road, as opposed to just dispersing that money. Was there any discussion on that at all?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzger, I do not remember any such discussion at any of the committee meetings. Do you remember?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, I don't recall any discussion along those lines either. I guess I would say I think functionally what you're talking about kind of happens anyway in terms of the money going out to cities and counties and them making their decisions as to what sort of projects they want to address, how they want to address them, collecting money over time to pay for projects, and through the STIP process and how the Transportation Commission spends money. Some of that, I think, what you're trying to get at occurs anyway. You're talking about a specific trust fund, and I don't believe that we have discussed that.
Yeah,
another question?
Yes, along that same line, in going over the revenue and the fiscal impact, part of the 71.2 is going to come from, it says $23.3 million, is going to come from capturing highway funds made available by the other bill, legislation raising fees on DMV services, as well as the utility bill. But I'm a little confused here, since the other fee bill that this refers to, those fees have ostensibly been raised to meet the cost of providing those services. So if those fees are being raised to provide the cost of services, then how can those monies become additional monies to pay for, to create this 71.2, because apparently that money is necessary to pay for that service. So I'm very confused about that part.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzger, I'll try to clarify. Right now, until the provisions of House Bill 2139 are put in place, which would allow those the cost to be totally recovered. We are now subsidizing the provision of those services with the general revenues of the Highway Trust Fund. So essentially, they are revenues that we will no longer have to use to subsidize those services. Therefore, are now available for the Highway Trust Fund and can be used in this bill.
Okay, that makes sense. And finally, Mr. Chair, just a little confused or a little concerned, I guess. We have kind of an incomplete fiscal at this point on this, and legislative fiscal says that it's difficult to estimate the number of new positions and related expenses the department will need to allow to expend on the bond revenue created by this bill. And I'm just curious, and if you have some additional warriors who want to call up, so that's fine, but I'm curious as to if you could explain to me why we would necessarily have to create new positions just because we're going to contract out new projects. And that's, and it doesn't say here, is, I mean, I'm anticipating being in an e-board meeting, having a request come for a bunch of FTEs, and that's, I guess I'm, rather than just putting more asphalt on the roads and doing the other things, why is there a creation of a thought here that we might have to have a bunch of new positions, simply since most of our projects are privately contracted?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzger, first, I don't think anybody's talked about a large number of positions.
It's uncertain.
It's uncertain, and I think what you need to understand is you're right. All of our construction work is done by contract services right now. Right now, we do design construction management with a combination of employees and private consultants. I think it's clear that our intent is to get this work out onto the ground with as little of increase in personnel and administrative charges at the department level. Therefore, we're going to be relying on the private sector, the consultants, and maybe even design build type of contracts, as an example, to minimize the amount of staff needed to monitor and make sure those projects are done properly. However, there is an impact to managing consultants. There's an impact to managing construction projects and the additional administration. So there will be some slight increase, but it's our intent to try to manage this as much as possible with the existing resources and rely on the private sector to deal with most of the demands for this project, because we do not want to see ourselves staff up for however long it takes to spend down this $400 million and then have the employees sitting there after that we'd have to lay off. So our intent is to minimize and we will look forward to working with you on that, but I think you'll be very pleased with what we come forward with.
Thank you, Mr. Warner.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet. Janet, I believe you had a question.
You're sensitive to
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Warner, one of the questions that came up on the House floor was about unobligated federal funds and stating that if we're not spending all the federal money that we are being allocated, why should we be asking the state to pay for more money for roads?
Mr. Chairman, committee members and staff, What I would like to do is I believe there was a comment made on the House floor that there was somewhere in the neighborhood of $288 million that was available and to us from the federal government that we're not taking advantage of. I want to make it very clear to the committee that I've looked at the records for many, many years, and we have never left one federal dollar on the table at the end of the federal fiscal periods. In other words, we've obligated and spent per our allocations every year, the funding that we have available. The interesting thing is the numbers I believe the representative was using on the House floor involve authorizations that were given by Congress, and in fact appropriations that were given by Congress that came with a limitation, an obligational ceiling that is less than the amount Congress actually authorized. It's very similar to the expenditure limitations that the legislature puts upon the department. Even if the resources are greater than what you anticipate in terms of revenues, you're only authorized to spend a certain amount of money. It's a budget balancing act that the federal government does, and so almost $208 million of that are monies that are really not there. All of the remaining dollars that were part of that package are monies that are dedicated to specific projects. And in most cases, they're projects that have been slowed down for some reason. Most of them on the local road system, cities and counties have been trying to get these federal dollars allocated, and it's very difficult for some local communities to deal with the federal requirements. And it's one of the reasons there's another bill to deal with an ability to count federal dollars towards our modernization requirement that is was passed by this legislature many, many years ago, about $54 million biennium we need to spend. If we didn't have that, we'd be able to, again, help our local governments more. And so what I'm telling you is all of those dollars are earmarked for projects or they're money that are not really there.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add to that, it's indirectly related, but one of the things that came up on the House side several times and I haven't heard mentioned today, it's been a concern of ours throughout session in terms of getting a package. Congress in 2003 does its reallocation of T21 dollars, and there are two, as I understand it, ways which money flows through that, the first being just a general allocation to the state based on, you know, standard criteria, and those monies just sort of flow to the state for purposes of transportation. I believe those are some of the dollars mentioned here. The other is sort of earmarking for individual projects, and one of the concerns that we've had is, you know, we've only got so many projects and items in the pipeline here, including preservation, bridge repair, and some of those, and that we had a concern that we'd be able to give our delegation, our able delegation, some projects to get matching funds for, some earmarked matching funds for. Again, we think this this package meets those needs and hope you support it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Other questions for Pat or Bruce? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to close just, oh, yes. Oh.
I just wanted to hear from Mr. Russell.
Yes, Rob, Bob Russell, please come forward. Yes, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Russell. I'm Director of Government Affairs for the Oregon Trucking Associations, and I apologize for being late. I was in another committee on a couple other bills, and I really regret that I didn't have the opportunity.
Keep in mind, this is the priority committee.
Absolutely. I didn't have the opportunity to testify with AAA on this particular bill. I was here in 1991 when we did our last transportation finance package. Matter of fact, I was here in 83, 85, 87, 89 as well. We haven't had a transportation package since that time. There have been a number of reasons why we haven't, but it's been over a decade. As you folks are very well aware, my industry makes its living on our roads, and we are very familiar with the condition of those roads. And we are very pleased to be in a position to support this particular package 100%. And we're also very pleased to have come to an agreement with AAA so that there is no opposition from the highway users to this particular package.
Any
thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Why don't you stay right there? I am going to close the public hearing in one moment, but would all of those who are supportive of this measure, would you please gather around this table just a few moments later? The official meeting is, anything else for the committee? And we will announce the work session. It will be sometime next week for sure. Okay, the closing the public hearing on